them, the Bible is specific about those going to heaven. It's equally as specific about those going to hell. A desire to go to heaven and miss hell will not get you there any more than a desire to be a millionaire will make you rich. Even while talking about heaven, the Bible lists 8 types of people who will not be there. If you're in one of these categories and remain so, you'll miss heaven and go to hell. Consider the awful reality of hell. Hell, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Turned Jesus down as my Savior because I was afraid of what my friends would say if I became a Christian. I didn't want to come here.
Your road to hell is well traveled. Millions have come this way before you.
Here forever. Oh.
The sound system.
Paul, the apostle, almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I would to God I'd have heard him. I would to God I'd have listened to Paul. Almost, that word rings in my ears. It's a burning memory in my soul, almost.
Do you see yourself in one of these 2 categories? Have you almost been persuaded to receive Jesus before, but turned him down for fear of what one of your friends might say? Will you leave tonight without him for fear of the crowd or that person beside you?
Hey, now, let me tell you a story, will you?
Go away! Let me alone! I'm so miserable!
Because of me, you lost your head.
I told many girls their first experience with sex. But oh, what a fool I was. Look at me now.
I need to know if you got heroin in there. Please help me. Oh, won't you help me? I need your help. Have you got any dope?
Wished I had never heard of him. Wished I had never heard of him.
Never heard of who?
I bowed before his image. Day after day, year after year, yet I'm still in hell.
Please, please, somebody listen to me. Please, let me explain. I have a confession to make.
Hey, I remember you. You lied to me about hell.
Yes, I said that hell could be the grave and you'd only be there for a short while. And I said that there was no flames in hell. But I was wrong, and I know I was wrong now. I'm experiencing the flames of hell. Please, but somebody just let me talk to you and explain a few things. Please. Please.
Are those the types of companions you desire to have forever?
Not really.
Which will it be for you? Hell or heaven?
Heaven's got guard on.
I suggest you compare these with one of
it
our human
you
doors.
Showing a friend through your mansion.
My mansion in heaven.
You could be among that innumerable host before the throne of God.
But I thought everybody who was there was guilty.
That could be you resting beside the River of Life.
No.
What will make the difference? It all depends upon what you do with Jesus Christ, who died for you at Calvary. You either accept what Jesus did at Calvary and go to heaven, or you reject what he did at Calvary and go to hell. Which will it be? Do I hear someone say, "Preacher, will you tell me exactly what I must do to go to heaven?" I'll be glad to do so. First, you must acknowledge that you are a lost sinner. As Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. As Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you see yourself as a lost sinner? Not just someone who sins every now and then, but as someone who cannot keep himself from sinning. Secondly, you must see the wages of your sin. As Romans 6:23 says,
death.
For the wages of sin is death. God does not deal with sin as a mother who sees her child snatching a cookie from the jar and gives him a slap on the wrist, or a judge who gives a criminal a 3-year suspended sentence. God says the wages of sin is death. That means physical death. That means spiritual death. That means eternal death. Death in a lake of fire. As Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Thirdly, you need to know that there is a way out. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to take
they seem
death.
Enthusiastic.
You can have eternal life if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I believe that Jesus is able to save me, but I believe that's a personal matter between him and me. I don't believe I have to make a public commitment, do you? This leads to the fourth thing. In Romans 10:9-10, we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you will openly, unashamedly, publicly acknowledge him as your Savior. If you refuse to acknowledge him as such, you have no scripture to back you up. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you come to Jesus right now while we stand and sing just as I
Here
am
they
without
come.
One plea? Won't you come right now? Just come on right now.
Get up there.
Won't you come to Jesus right now? Get up from where you are and come. Don't worry about what your friends will say. This could be the greatest day
goes.
Of your life right now. That's right. While others are coming, you come on.
Come on.
How wonderful to see these people accept Christ into their hearts. But you two ought to come. Wouldn't you come right now?
And now, let me say a word to you who are watching this film. Have you made your plans as to where you will spend eternity? What would happen to you if Jesus should come back today? Or if you should get killed in an earthquake, or death should come in some other sudden form, where would you go? Perhaps I'm talking to someone who made a promise to a loved one on their dying bed that you'd meet them in heaven. But since their death, you've done nothing about your soul's salvation. Wouldn't you do something about it right now? To put off this most important matter is extremely dangerous. This could be God's last call to you.
Oh.
Will you bow your head with me in prayer?
Well, I think they've given us something to think about there, because many have laughed at the idea of heaven and hell, but when you're there, I guess it's not such a laughing matter. Many have fallen down to the under realms, but few return to the sunlit lands. Many have taken ship at the pale beaches, but full few return to the sunlit lands. Yes, it is so. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they fitteth their arrow upon the string, that they might shoot privily at the upright in heart, by which I mean us, since I am not permitted to say I. Yes, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence the Lord hateth. Upon the wicked he shall pour snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Help, Lord. For the godly men doth stumble and fall on their faces. They fall over and damage their noses among the children of men. The godly men cease. The faithful fail. From among those human children who have said, what is it that they've said? They said, what they say?
Sure, boss.
Yeah, boss. Well, they said that, but who have spoken?
There's a boy says he is a lunatic.
They've spoken untruth, every one, with their neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall take his big sharp shears and cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things he shall pull out with silver pinchers. Who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now shall I arise, saith the Lord. I shall set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And we're not supposed to puffeth in here either.
What about puffa puffa rice?
Well, that's a different thing. Shot, shot from guns. Yes, we are as children, playing around, shooting off our plastic ray guns, with no thought of tomorrow, with no thought that the skies of humanity shall be darkened by the imposition of the Ro-Men from the planet Ro-Man. Yes, for Ro-Man is from the planet Ro-Man, even unto great guidance Ro-Man. Yes, his space vehicle is also called Ro-Man. I mean, there's a certain lack of imagination here, but imagination is for the human. For a Ro-Man, there is only obedience.
For a Ro-Man, I shall remain.
I am a Ro-Man, and a Ro-Man I shall remain. My body is hairy like that of the primordial ape, but over my cephalon, I wear the helmet of perverted science.
All perverted science, you.
Now, none of that. Great guidance. Why is it not permitted to laugh and sing like the human, to kick up one's heels in the fields of buttercups like the human, to play practical jokes, to eat delicious food like the human? Why is this not part of the plan?
You are a Ro-Man, and a Ro-Man you shall remain.
Aw, nuts.
Have you been set into motion yet?
One, I set you in motion. One, kill the girl. Two, kill those kids. Three, kill the family. You do this or I shall kill you. Yes, great guidance.
Are you married to the whole kill the girl concept?
I think there should be an exception. Let me keep the girl, Alice. All the others I shall kill. Let me unbutton her top just so.
Egot did this. I guess Robot Monster.
Robot Monster was there first, before Ego. The other day I saw the pilot episode of The Munsters, never aired. And lo and behold, Herman had an earlier wife before Lily named Phoebe, and she was in it. And Eddie was all different, too. Everything was different.
Yeah.
Strange.
You ever see...
Marilyn Munster was not Pat Priest, either. It was like a nightmare. But did I ever see what? Did we ever see what? I mean...
Exactly. Kate Munster.
Kate Munster?
No, Kate. It's in Cape Fear.
Oh, Kate Munster. Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, I've been a lot of places.
Hey, welcome back to the show, and I think we're going all right. Things are moving.
You know, I've been everywhere in the world. Well, have you ever been to Squatadiddly, Idaho? Oh, yeah, I've been there.
What about Juneau, Alaska?
Been there. Great place, Juneau. Juneau. And Pocatello, Idaho. I've been there. So I've been everywhere.
Yeah, if you want to get your just a taste of the Roman...
Error.
Calcinator death ray.
Yes, the electrocalcinator death ray has destroyed all the humans. At first, they thought that they themselves were attacking, and we were amused by their nuclear devices. But now, there is only the obnoxious family remaining.
Wow, the planet Roman actually is kind of pretty.
Yeah, the problem is these guys can't tell because they lack the aesthetic sense that the human has. And if it's so all-fired great, why did they want to come to Earth anyway?
Well, there's something they're not telling space, us. There was actually a reason.
It had to do with reproduction.
Yeah.
Gametes, sexual reproduction. That is the when teenagers from outer space came here.
Yeah, well, they in order to breed Gorgon.
Right, turn the whole planet into a breeding place for giant crawdads. Well, you know, that's just the thing. Alien needs are not as our needs. Huge, giant, transparent crawdads that stand on their tails will become the dominant life form here on your so-called Earth. And everyone who says no shall be turned into a little clattering skeleton. That whole idea is coming soon to a world near you. 'Tis sad, is it not? To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. And yet these are tidings of comfort and joy. Yes, comfort and joy. These are tidings of comfort and joy. We are not... daily beggars who beg from door to door. No, we're the neighbor's children whom you have seen before. So check out these snaps on Instagram. Actually, I was planning to do some of my so-called artwork tonight, because tomorrow I can't do it, and Saturday I can't do it. Well, tomorrow I've got to be here at RadioValencia.fm. And when are we doing Reloadio?
I can't believe they actually pay us to do this.
I can't believe that either, because I pay them, but I mean, we pay them. But what about Reloadio? What day is that? Is it Saturday?
Saturday, yeah, usually.
Yeah. Sunday I've got, we may have our show online, depending on whether I can convince them, us, me and them, I mean just them, to do it. So we shall see. That is the final word. Until it changes. Just think of the delicious food we are going to eat in heaven. Oh no, I'm afraid nobody eats anything in heaven. There is no need to sustain an immortal body. What? You mean no French fries, no noodles, no cherry pie? No, all that worldly trash must be put aside and fed to Satan.
Satan gets Pop-Tarts, he gets everything. Yeah.
Well, at least I'll get to sleep on those soft clouds like a big mattress, eh? Oh, no, no one shall rest, for no one shall feel tiredness in heaven. And there is no night, only the eternal day. Well, what about my stamp collection? That, too, will not be allowed in heaven. No mail is delivered in the celestial realms. Everyone knows everything you have to say anyway. For all contrary thoughts are suppressed by the production committee. So unless you're really sure, maybe heaven isn't right for you, because you have to be able to live with yourself forever and ever and ever. And if you can't, and you're still going to be immortal, why, that's hell, brother, wherever you are. Yes, a hell of a note, isn't it? How easy is it for you to do that? To make that sound?
It's not as easy as it should be.
Oh, well. But there it
is. It's not that bad.
All right. Well,
it could be a little easier. It could be just a little easier, but it's actually not that easy. But it's pretty easy.
In winter, when the fields are white, I sing this song for your delight. Well, that's a little premature. In summer, when the fields are green, I'll try to tell you what I mean. In autumn, when the fields are brown, take pen and ink and write it down. I sent a message to the fish. I told them, this is what I wish. The little fishes of the sea, they sent a messenger to me. The little fishes' message was, we cannot do it, sir, because... Oh, well, we don't have it this time. I wrote to them again to say it would be better to obey. The fishes answered with a grin, why, what a temper you are in. I told them once, I told them twice, they would not listen to advice. I took a kettle, large and new, fit for the deed I had to do. My heart went hop, my heart went thump, I filled the kettle at the pump. Then someone came to me and said, the little fishes are in bed. I said to him, I said it plain, then you must wake them up again. I said it very loud and clear, I went and shouted in his ear. But he was very stiff and proud and said, you needn't shout so loud. And he was very proud and stiff and said, I'd go and wake them if...
job, man.
Okay, all right. I took a corkscrew from the shelf and went to wake them up myself. And when I found the door was locked, I pushed and pulled and kicked and knocked. And when I found the door was shut, I tried to turn the handle, but... And that's all. We hope you've enjoyed this portion of the program, all about the word of the Lord and what may lie in the happy realms beyond life and death. For surely there must be an afterlife that so many minds have conceived of. As William Blake said, everything that is possible to be believed is an image of truth. So get your ducks in a row and prepare to transition to a beautiful world as sure as there's a heaven beyond the sun.
One by one.
There was an interesting article online. Fish found with human teeth. You didn't happen to see that one, did you? Well, my father told me he saw one of those fish that years ago. He said it was very odd. It came out of the water.
Thank you very much for being so patient.
You know, I'm sure if you used the search words, fish with human teeth, you would see a picture of this astonishing-looking fish, which does look as if it has a full set of dentures, human teeth in it. You wouldn't want to be bitten by that fella. And the giant Atlantic grouper seems to be bounding back from extinction. These colossal fish are 8 feet long and weigh hundreds of pounds. I wouldn't want one of them nosing around me. No, sir. With their huge, slabbery lips and giant gullet, you could be sucked right in and chewed on thoughtfully. Just because it could, don't you know? Yes, once you're underwater, you're in their realm, not ours. Yes, it does look like that. They're psychedelic fish getting ready to freak out. Poor things. They have no necks. They can't turn their heads. They're adapted to a streamlined life in the aquatic medium. So Puzz Ev isn't going to do his show, but I guess he can come and sit in on our shows, can't he? Or can he?
I don't know. I'm ready to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Controversy.
Yeah, like surveillance. And,
right.
You know, this is where, like, hell happens, and taking pictures of bad things.
Well, sure, but of course you have seen that certain things are absolutely forbidden.
I know.
That's why I had the door locked when you came by the other time. I didn't want to be apprehended being insufficiently respectful of the newly imposed list of proscriptions.
Right. I know. It's like a fever dream of station management.
Yes, who would know that so much managing was essential?
Now all you need is
love potion number. No. what do I need?
No, I was thinking I always want like a Sammy present,
Sammy.
Just a one-note Johnny.
Johnny One Note. Yeah, I remember him. He's got a voice like a goat.
Oh, Johnny One Note.
I know a boy who likes to sing, but he can sing only one note. His name is Johnny, and the poor teacher mourns. He's got a voice like a goat. That's for those of us who can only sing one note.
Johnny could only sing one note, and the note he sang was this.
Ah, poor Johnny One Note sang out with gusto and just overlorded the place. Poor Johnny One Note yelled willy-nilly until he was blue in the face. But holding one note was his ace. Couldn't hear the brass, couldn't hear the drum, chicka-bop-a-call. He was in a class by himself, by gum. Poor Johnny One Note got in Aida, indeed a great chance to be brave. He took his one note out like the north wind, rocked
one
wind
note
made
Johnny
critics rave. While Giuseppe Verdi turned round in his grave, couldn't hear the flute or the big trombone. Everything was mute. Johnny stood alone.
Pretty good. You should keep him as a permanent fixture.
Cats and dogs stopped yapping.
Yeah, he looks good there with the flames of hell in the background. They're prettier than the actual flames of hell. Which ain't pretty.
It's more like the Guitara Nebula.
However, if you were to dig in hell, you could find valuable minerals there, according to John Milton. It's how all the buildings and structures in hell were built, by Satan's minions. They had to smelt the iron and construct everything out of stone. Aren't any trees or plants there, but they built the whole palace of Pandemonium there, and the walls around the various levels of hell. The city of Dis has its own wall. The gate of hell itself is made of adamantium, that substance which can never age or wear away. Beyond time I stand, it says, among other things. Hell of a note, eh? According to some others, the original seven circles of hell have been expanded, and now there are more, because it's some years since the time of Dante Alighieri. So there are hell circles where people are turned into cars racing around racetracks and things like that. The contemporary version of the pit. You're still judged by Minos when you come there. And maybe his giant hand and arm come and lift you up and place you where you belong, in the land of eternal sorrow. Regions of sorrow, doleful shades where peace and rest can never dwell. Hope never comes to all. But torture without end still urges, and a fiery deluge fed with ever-burning sulfur unconsumed. Such place eternal justice had prepared for those rebellious, there their prison ordained in utter darkness, and their portion set as far removed from God and light of heaven as from the center thrice to the utmost pole. I watched some of Horrors of Spider Island. The problem is I can't regulate the volume, and the screams and screeches of the stripteasers, especially when they get into catfights, is awfully loud to play in the middle of the night when I'm trying to do things in the kitchen. I have to wait until I'm able to turn the volume up and down.
Is the kitchen kind of like your work table?
Yes. I certainly have no room in my room to work. Tonight I will be trying to move my other project forward now that I finished the one I've been working on during the week. And maybe listening to something. I can play my records on that Blu-ray player, the DVDs and so on, the CDs, CDOs, all the ones that I see. Why don't they redo their hell propaganda with all the latest CGI technology? Then you could have towering devils and all sorts of spectacular sights, you know, instead of these lame-os pretending to be from the infernal regions. It is said, even unto these ancient stones, that evil supernatural creatures exist in a world of darkness. And it is also said that man, using the power of the runic symbols, can invoke these sinister forces, the demons of hell. Now, some have objected, if you go to Stonehenge and look at it, there's no runic symbols scratched on those stones. No, there aren't for you, because you haven't been chosen. But if you're Dana Andrews, you'll see them as plain as day, and they'll be just like the one on your own little bit of parchment. You can take that to the bank, buddy.
Clifton Parker.
The composer, conducted by Muir Matheson and the London Symphony Orchestra. The Curse of the Demon soundtrack. Boy, I was delighted to hear that. And even after the closing credits, there's demon sound effects and stuff on the disc. It's great stuff. Oh, here comes a large demon manifesting right now. You hear that twittering and fluttering as if the whippoorwills or psychopomps are readying to catch your soul as it is forcibly extracted from your corpus by a towering fire demon. When the engineer and fireman aboard the train stick their heads out the window, do they see an 80-foot demon standing by the track, savaging Julian Carswell? It gives that impression. Of course, you don't stop the train no matter what.
I like how the smoke's on the train.
Yes. Looks like the train hit him and dragged him. I thought the train was on the other track, sir. Don't be an idiot. Look at him, man. The train had to have hit him. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's better not to know. Have you heard of a tune that goes sort of like this? And then it goes, why, yes, an Irish folk tune, a song about the devil, as a matter of fact. Most interesting, because in northern India there is also that exact tune and a song also about the devil. Oh, well, I guess that takes care of that. Anyway, I want to wrap up this so-called investigation and and never mind talking to Carswell. He's as crazy as they come. And Carswell's mother, don't get me started on her. Are they dancing in hell? What the hell is that all about?
What the hell?
They do seem to be dancing. Well, many have hoped that once you get to hell, it's not so bad.